info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
K-A-Y-T, Lake Charles, 100.1.
Because I heard God in the midst of all this happening in 2020, it hit me honestly, this is not the time for excuses, but rather for adjustments. And I did enjoy the intro, I did, even though I did the intro when I talked about Chadwick Boseman and how even though playing the Black Panther and dealing with cancer inoperably, while he's hitting splits, he is definitely sick. Playing the character of James Brown, and I said, and I think it's worth saying again, he could have been seeking sympathy on social media, and to millions that would have made sense, but he rather used that 4 years of small life left to make adjustments. And I think there are those of you watching that 2020, come on, we're now near the end. And so at some point you have to stop and say, we could lose this year to Corona. It's what it is. I mean, even now, I'm facing the choice of, do I call it for the year? Do I try to get back by November, church anniversary, 20 years of pastoring? Who wouldn't want to be in the house for their birthday? And maybe, maybe not. I got to make a decision here. Some pastors have made it. It's over for the year. See you New Year's Eve, January 1st. I mean, all these things are real. But what I love, Elder Willie, you're part of the staff, we're making adjustments. Not excuses. We've had some of the best church, some of the best production. We've hired some of the best people. We've used this time, and maybe you're watching, you need to make that adjustment. To that end, we sort of lifted up 1 Corinthians 12. You have it, 2 Corinthians 12, that is, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8. And we lifted up to set some quick context when Paul says, I've been caught up in the third heaven. He says in verse 6, and I thought this was boss. He says, if anybody could brag, it's me. And he said, if I brag, it wouldn't even be true. And I told you this weekend that some bruh bragging on his house, and Paul's like, player, I've been to heaven. I don't think you want to get in a who's boss contest. You talking about your house and your trip to Honolulu. I just got back from heaven. Now, you want to do this. So Paul says, I've seen so much. Watch this. I have to fight arrogance. Yeah, I have to fight arrogance. God's been so good to me, I have to fight not to say, look at me. He says, and to make sure of that, which is where we pick up in verse 8, concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. I begged the Lord three times to take it away. He says, there was placed a thorn in my flesh. Asked God three times to take it. I tell you something amazing, because I said this weekend, and I need to repeat it, because I love different versions of the Bible, particularly when you're dealing with YF and young people. Of course, I love the antiquated, cold-blooded King James and NASB, the scholarly versions, because it says there was a thorn in my flesh. NLT says that. It does. You can check it. NASB, New King James Version. All right, New Revised Version, all of them, thorn in my flesh. But God's Word Version says a reoccurring problem, a reoccurring problem. And then the one that we shouted on this past Sunday, the Message says the gift of a handicap, the gift of a handicap. And I thought that was something, the gift of a handicap. And we talked about what handicap mean. And I held up the handicap sign and says, all singles, starting with you, soon, all three of you, as soon as a brother walks up on you, hold up your handicap sign and say, are you sure? Yes. I got some handicaps. Hold your sign up just like you would have it in your car. Say, bro, if you get with me, you'll be blessed, but I come with some handicaps. I have some reoccurring problems. There are some things that God has not, look at me, completely taken away. There's this one place in my life that keeps me broken before him. There's this one place in my life that I have to pray about. I was just telling my son in love in the back how blessed I am. I said it this past weekend and I'll say it again. I'm serious. I'm gonna start a t-shirt line saying the most blessed man in the world. I feel that way. I'm a couple days older than most of you, and I promise you at 49 years old, you're gonna love this. There's no place I wanna go I haven't been. There's nobody I wanna meet I haven't met. There's nothing I want that I can't go get. Well, maybe a private jet. Praise God. If you want to sow that, I know there's a rumor that I have one, but please make that rumor true. When we do fly private, we have to sort of rent stuff, but buy me one. Yeah. Other than a private jet, and that private jet, my son said it's coming. Will you get it, son? Praise God. And that private jet, honestly, is only to get to all the churches I cover. There's this apostolic anointing on my life, and what I wouldn't give to be able to shoot down to my sons and daughters' churches and bless them and bless the building and check on them and get right back to Cleveland and still make it back for our services and things of that nature. But to that end, there's nothing that I need that I don't have. You guys have been to the house. I like where I live. You know I like that cute girl, right? She is so ekababa, she yaba, bow, wow, wow, yibiyo, yibiyo. I just love her. I say that to say, and I talked about how all these things, Elder Will, those watching are so great, but yet I have a thorn. Yes, sir. I feel no need to talk about my thorn publicly. I don't. Because it's not, thank God, adultery or drug use, but there are some relational places in my life that I wish were more whole. I think about them sometimes. They come to my mind at night. I could be laying up looking at my children and my wife, thinking about my church, and then boom, it'll hit me. Man, I wish that was better. I wish, God, you would. And for whatever reason, now at 49 years old, you ready for this? I've come to a place, you'll get here, hopefully before me because of my teaching. I kind of realize he's probably not going to fix that. Yeah. Now, you can spend to 80 or you can catch it at 33 and 35 and 31 and say, you know what? That's just a place that's not going to be completely repaired in me. That might be an ongoing, reoccurring handicap thorn. Y'all not catching this. This might be something that keeps me on my knees or keeps me in a humble place. And I didn't say this this weekend, and now I'm going to kick myself because scholars argue on what the thorn was. Some think he had an eye problem, this idea of an enlarged eye, some sort of incessant habit. Porn addiction. I know that's anachronistic. There probably was no porn in first century Palestine, but whatever version of porn they had, there's always been porn. Trust me. There was porn. There's been porn since the garden. Trust me. Praise God. But I want y'all to catch this. We don't know. Stop laughing. Watch this. Because we don't know. Some think maybe it was some sort of epilepsy, some sort of malaria, some sort, again, of incessant struggle with something. And I like it. Because it is the ambiguity that in a very real sense gives me the freedom to know that whatever it was, I don't have to know completely what it was, but he has something. What's your something? Watch this. What's your thorn? Those watching me, what's your thorn? Watch this. And how will you handle it? Let me be more practical. Many people I know, marriage is the bomb. There's like this one child. It's the one child. Everybody knows. It's the one cousin. It's the one nephew. It's the one thing that keeps them broken before God. Now, I want you to catch this. Let's jump back in because I spent a little time there. But look at verse 8 again. Concerning this thorn, I prayed 3 times that it might leave. I begged the Lord 3 times, God's word version. Watch this. Message version, verse 8. At first, I didn't think of it as a gift and beg God to remove it. 3 times I did that. At first, I didn't think of it as a gift and begged God to remove it. 3 times I did that. Paul says, initially, I didn't see it as a gift. Yeah. Right? And I talked about this weekend, and Jason, you said that, bless you, this idea that I'd never thought about the fact that the same request Paul had is the one Jesus had. And both, watch this, both removal requests were denied. Both removal requests were denied. That was good, Sunday. You better watch it on YouTube. Go back, because both removal. Jesus says, Daddy, remove the cup. Paul says, remove the thorn. And both removal requests were denied. The father said to his son, no. And the father said to Paul, no. And I said this weekend, I know it's redundant, but it was good. Please go watch it, because I talked about all new style saints want God to lean in your direction. But what about when God pulls you in his and says, my answer is no. Watch this. Okay, matter of fact, drop this on the screen, because I've given you this before. It's worth writing, remembering. And that is the three answers to prayer. The three answers to prayer. It's not that difficult. You'll remember these the rest of your life. It is yes, no, and not yet. God's going to say one of three things to you. My son, Ralph, I love Ralph. He makes it to every sermon some kind of way, praise God. And Ralph will ask me a question. And you have to realize, Will, your son's getting bigger. And yours, you don't have any yet. You three don't. You four. But it's coming. When Ralph calls me with a certain voice, I'm very aware that some request is coming. Now, you're going to have children. You don't know yet. But as they get bigger, I can be at the house chilling. He's at teen church. And my wife and I laugh. We can be in the car and we see son Raphael. I got him in my phone. It's son Raphael. And if he answers by saying, hey, Dad, what your mom doing? I said, well, all right, what exactly do you want? Yeah. And he said, no. And I said, no, I wish you were just checking on me. You don't know what that would do for my heart. You don't know it would change my life if you were just really calling to say, Dad, I was thinking about you. You don't know I'd jump out this car and shout on the freeway. But I have a sneaky suspicion. No, Dad. All right, well, since you asked. And he'll say, Dad, matter of fact, this past week, everybody's going to the jump yard, and they're going to whatever, and they're going to be jumping, and school's going to start back, and Dad, we'll make sure we physical distance, and I'll take my mask. And I said, well, Ralph, no. He said, Dad, I said, well, if I only have one option, why call me? Yes. Y'all just missed that. This is good. Yes. If I can't say no, then what are we doing? If every time you call me, it's yes, then why call me? Y'all got to catch this. I reserve the right not to have a reason for my no. Okay, this is so good. You haven't done anything wrong. As a matter of fact, you've had a great week. But you know my rule, I like notice on anything you're doing with at least 3 or 4 days to think about it. I haven't talked to parents. I don't know enough. So you know our rule, you don't hit me last minute and I don't have enough details because I feel like you up to something. I could be wrong, but I just feel like it. Maybe. Here's the point I'm making. God's the same way. Sometime when asking for the removal of the thorn, it is not that he doesn't love you. It is not that you haven't had a good week. It is not that you haven't been absent and loving God, China. But God says, not yet. And you're like, well, when? I'm even matching my pastor, God. I'm on the same, me and my pastor on the same page. We got on pink and white. That has to be Holy Spirit. I'm flowing with my man of God, literally. And I can't meet the great, perfect husband yet, or whatever's going on, or what's going on. I want this, I want that, or when is it going to happen? Ministry, whatever's happening, God says no or not yet. And in many cases, watch this, there is some painful place in your life that God says, I'm not moving the thorn. Here it is, 1 John 5:14. Remember that? Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, here's the caveat, according to his will, yes, sir, he hears us. Pastor, that's your go-to scripture. It always has been. Future pastors, it always will be. I don't care who walks up to me. It is my out verse. It's my out clause. It's the verse I'm going to give you when what we prayed for doesn't come to pass. It's the verse I'm going to go to when somebody says, Pastor, I believed, I fasted, I gave. I'm going to say 1 John 5:14. All of you, keep it in your spirit. If we ask anything according to God's will. I think one of the best things I said this weekend is that sometimes the greatest enemy of discernment is desire. Dr. Howard John Wesley said that. Dr. Howard John Wesley says, sometimes the greatest enemy of discernment is desire. You know that's good. Because when a bruh, I know your style, because I know the guy, because he go here. And I know what he looks like. I hope he watching too, because I'll bust him in his head. Let him touch you. You and your precious baby, such a great young mom and all that. Believe in God for a great husband. And sometime, the greatest enemy, young single daughters of mine, of discernment is desire. When I desire, I often can't discern. Sometimes